The English children's author Dodie Smith is best known for her novel, The 101 Dalmatians. Back in 1943, she was living in Hollywood working on a new novel set in the 1930s. When the first three chapters were shown to an executive at the MGM studios, he was so interested in filming the story that he offered Smith a secretary to whom she could dictate the tale. She declined, so the world has had to wait 60 years to see I Capture the Castle on screen. Now it's out, and Bob Mondello says it's a charmer.
Although the Depression has left many people in England depressed, 17-year-old Cassandra counts herself lucky. Her dad's a writer who's moved the family into a rundown rented castle to save money. Stepmom's a bohemian artist who, when she's not running naked through the rain, is impulsively dyeing everything in the castle green. Little brother's a genius, older sis Rose a romantic, and life is essentially a fairy tale with a few rough edges. The problem is the real world's still out there, and no one in this family remembers how to relate to it, as becomes clear when the castle's new American owners show up, handsome, rich, young, presumably marriageable, and blunt.
Why are you all dressed in green?
Awkward, Rose, who's sitting at the piano, decides to save the day, alas, in a style more suited to the 1890s than the 1930s.
Simon, you may turn the pages for me.
I'm afraid I don't read music. I don't either.
That need not detain us. Come on.
Rose's phrasing betrays the Victorian sources for her notions of romance. So does the song she chooses, and while she's soon updating her repertoire, Cassandra writes in her diary what the rest of the family knows all too well.
Rose thinks she gave an irresistible performance. I ought to tell her the truth, but I can't bear to. She's the only woman in the house with a smile on her face.
The smile fades, and by lunchtime a few days later, once it's clear that neither of the two swains was captivated, the family's mood has soured considerably.
Pass the salt, pass the salt, pass the salt.
Oh, Rose! Damn it,
Rose! You know he's got a perforated eardrum.
Oh, well, I suppose you'll go deaf now or die, and I'll be held responsible.
Stop it!
Stop it!
Why are you learning to control yourselves? I haven't lost my temper for years.
It's just as well. When you think what happened last time.
Ah, yes, what happened last time Father lost his temper. There are secrets in this family's history, and there will be rivalries in its future. But for the present, everything revolves around the potential for romance. And though Cassandra feels stirrings of her own, she's the gawky younger sister. So her role is to play sounding board and shoulder to cry on, and listener for Rose.
Why didn't they come back? I went out of my way to be flirtatious and provocative. That's what men are meant to like. There's no way out now, is there, Cassie?
Actually, things aren't quite that bleak, as the girls will soon discover. Rose Byrne is quite lovely as Rose, but that doesn't keep Romola Garai's Cassandra from walking off with the picture. Cassandra is a terrific character, strong, clear-headed, and hopelessly smitten, though she doesn't dare show it. The story is more fun in the early stages, when it's introducing the family craziness, than later, when the plot gets so tangled that lessons need to be learned. It's really romantic twaddle of the sort that's fun to wallow in on occasion. But with a guide who's smart enough to give the wallow a point. Cassandra's diary entries in I Capture the Castle are so observant about the dreams of her family and about the social constraints that stifle those dreams that by the end you feel she's captured not just the castle, but the pulse of the society that built it. I'm Bob Mondello.